The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Pollard streaks in! Touchdown!
Parsons has sacked it!
Prescott keeps it! And he bangs it into the touchdown!
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a Thursday edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, live from the Star in Frisco in the SWBC studios. Today we have QB Vision. Isaiah Standback breaks down the Carolina Panthers defense and what they bring to the table. Don't laugh. It's an NFL team. We can talk about this.
I didn't say anything.
I'm laughing at him.
John Mashoda, Nick Harris, of course, Isaiah Standback. We've got Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing good. Doing fantastic. I made a stop at Wingstop last night to prepare.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, you're trying to prepare the palate?
You can't,
I can't get it out.
Trying to prepare the palate?
Yeah, I got the blazing, you know. I ate about 10 of them things, and, you know, my mouth is good and numb, so I'm ready for tomorrow.
Nice.
I love that you got it in practice. That's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a guy who likes spice. Like, this is why I initiated this bet to begin with. But
trying to calibrate your mouth.
Fail. But yeah, I feel like we still need to train for this.
Yeah,
fail.
This is...
Fail to prepare, prepare
never
to
heard
fail.
Of, never
exactly.
heard of a mouth calibration.
Exactly.
He's ready, man.
Hey, you might be a fan of jogging. You might love going out on a nice, just normal jog. Yeah. But whenever you're out there sprinting for 26 miles, that's different. That's different. That's what Nick's doing on Friday.
I mean, like, calibration?
Yeah, that's what he's trying to do.
I mean, like, CeeDee Lamb, he said he's a top receiver in the NFL, but he's not just going to go out there and not warm up before. You know,
I'm with you, man. Sometimes you got to warm up.
Did you just compare yourself to CeeDee Lamb?
That's what I heard.
I am the CeeDee Lamb of eating spicy food.
Oh,
wow.
I will say that.
There is a receiver, though, that used to brag about that. Maybe it was Randy.
About eating spicy foods?
No, about not warming up. Oh. I don't need to stretch or something. It might have been Randy.
That sounds like something Chad Ochocinco would say.
Okay, it's one of those two.
Yeah.
I don't even need to warm up.
It sounds like an Ochocinco comment.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, spicy food day is tomorrow. John, are you going to try and stop in tomorrow?
I'm thinking about it.
Think just about maybe popping in just for the second segment?
And if I'm not here, I will be.
You'll be tuned in.
I have a feeling we'll have an audience.
I think we should. I think if we can get everybody upstairs down here, I'll start to.
There's somebody who sent me a message. Somebody who watches our show religiously. I think he works in a prison. He's like, I'm gonna have to walk out the prison and go watch this.
Wow,
it's like
that's awesome.
People have like countdown timers.
Yes,
some
they
days
do.
Though, this place would be more difficult to get into though.
Oh yeah, this place specifically.
Seriously,
I was in the lunchroom yesterday and I was waiting in line and I got a tap on the shoulder. It was Will McClay. Will McClay came up to me. He goes, man. Heard about your hot sauce bet. And I was like, oh, really? I was like, what are you doing on Friday? You want to come down? You want to hang out? He was like, nah, dude, I don't want to watch you cry. And I was like, whoa.
How'd it get to me?
I was like, whoa. I was like, let it be known, I was not the one that lost the bet. There were a couple people that tweeted at us on Sunday, too, that thought I was the one that lost the bet. My agreement was that if it was a push, if it was an even 100, I would do it with both of you
Facts.
Guys.
That's
what it was.
There's receipts for that comment.
He was like, I don't want to watch you cry. And I was like, oh, well, no, it's actually Nick Harris doing it. And he was like, oh, really? And I was like, so does that change it? Do you want to come watch it now? And he was like, nah, I'm good. He's got busier things to take care of. So tomorrow's second segment, key matchups with the third hottest hot sauce in the country.
Hottest segment of the year.
Ooh.
There we go.
Bang.
Like that.
Bars.
There we go. There
you Speaking
go.
Of the hottest segment, let's get into news and notes.
Let's
do
it.
Absolutely. Goodness gracious. I had something immediately ready, and now here I am fumbling trying to get it ready.
You're getting nervous.
To
that's
throw
why.
It. That's what it is. It is. I'm just sitting here thinking about spice, and it's like,
sweating.
Oh, my God. Okay, the Cowboys practice report came out yesterday. A lot of people were on it, but everybody was listed as a full participant. We'll run down Rico Dowdle with an ankle injury, Viliame Fehoko with a knee injury, Jordan Lewis with a neck injury, Osa Digizua with a hamstring injury, Jalen Tolbert with a knee injury, and Kevontae Turpin with his shoulder injury that that forced him to miss the game against the Giants. And then also Peyton Hendershot was activated, or not activated, his practice window was opened so that he could be activated on the active roster within 21 days. That actually kind of surprises me. I didn't expect him to be brought back this season, but they opened his practice window, and it looks like they're opening up the possibility of having four tight ends on the roster if they want to bring him back.
Do you think that could happen as soon as this week?
The thing is, it goes back to our conversation yesterday. It's like, who do you take off the active roster? And I'm just not sure at that point.
Yeah,
I'm not sure at that point. But four tight ends is it's not unheard of, but it's kind of wild.
That's hefty.
When you hear that name, Isaiah, which one worries you the most? Those names on the list, which one would you be more concerned about?
You want me to run them through again?
Yeah, go through them one more time. Yeah.
Rico Dowdle, Viliame Fehoko, Jordan Lewis, Osa Digizua, Jalen Tolbert, Kevontae Turpin.
Mine would be Osa.
This week?
Because Osa was a neck, right?
This week it would be Rico Dowdle.
Hamstring. Oh, it's a hamstring. Okay, yeah. Who's the neck?
Neck was Jordan Lewis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, for this week it would be Rico. Because I believe that the box that was left unchecked, as we mentioned a couple of days ago, was the run game. And I believe they need to get the run game going. And I think that they can get it going. And I believe that if he's not there, that tremendously impacts their effectiveness and what they're trying to do in terms of trying to get Tony Pollard going. So I think they need that 1-2 punch. I think they realized that last week. And if Rico is unavailable because of that ankle, then I believe that obviously puts a halt to that development, and this is a developmental week for that offensive line in this running game.
For me, it's Jordan Lewis. I think when you're going up against a skill group like the Panthers have, I think you need your entire secondary. And I would love for Jordan Lewis to be able to get some good reps against guys like DJ Chark and Adam Thielen and so on and so forth. Additionally to that is the Panthers practice report. Looks like DJ Chark is making some headway in his elbow injury. Looks like he could be ready to go. Hayden Hurst popped up with a concussion. He did not practice yesterday, so that would obviously be notable. Aside from that, J.C. Horn earlier this week, I know we talked about it, his practice window was open. Still unsure if he'll be activated before Sunday, but he was limited yesterday in practice.
Any of those names concern you overall, John?
Not with the Panthers, but also Digizua with the hamstring. Yeah. The Cowboys does a little bit just because I wrote an article the other day for The Athletic about who I think are the top 10, and I added an additional 5 at the bottom, most important players for the rest of this season, and I had Osa in my top 10 just because of, one, his value, and then, two, just the position he plays and where the depth is with the rest of the team in the middle of the defensive line, and he's just so valuable to that defensive line. And in hamstrings, you just never know. I mean, like, yeah, they can kind of be annoying and be something you're dealing with for, you know, several weeks. So whatever it takes to get him healthy, if that means limited his reps this week, you do what you got to do for sure.
Also, not to mention the one of the things that plays into his strengths from Osa's standpoint is his get off. It's the motor. It's the way he can explode off the line of scrimmage. And if he's dealing with a hamstring, that's probably going to be hindered just a little bit. To go along with what John just said in terms of the importance of what he brings to the interior of that defense, he's been a big part of how this run defense has taken a step forward and taken a step in the right direction this year.
Yeah, but also, let's say worst-case scenario, Osa Digizua can't go. Mm-hmm. You know, does that open up more opportunities for guys like Mozzie Smith and Neville Gallimore and against a team where, you know, their run game obviously isn't the most effective in the world? Would it be valuable to get reps for those guys in that instance at the same time?
Probably, yeah.
Then, I mean,
I don't know if I love having one of our better players out on the defensive side.
Exactly. I'm just saying, like, it's not the worst case.
Sure. That's a very positive way to look at it. I appreciate that.
I wouldn't even really try to be positive. next thing, we were in the locker room yesterday, and wasn't a ton of guys in the locker room. They've kind of moved to a different practice schedule over the course of the last couple of weeks. Looks like that's going to be mostly the schedule moving forward, whereas, like, Wednesday, whereas typically they held a light practice. Instead, they're doing a light walk through later in the day, and we have locker room much earlier in the day where, you know, some guys are in, some guys are out. We were able to talk to Marquise Bell and talk to a lot of guys, honestly, about just the LVE injury and how it impacts everybody. But obviously the linebackers, it impacts a lot more with Marquise Bell and Damone Clark. And Marquise Bell was talking about how him and Damone Clark have come into this year, and they've really bonded because they've been in that second level together, and they've been able to grow in that second level. They're both second-year guys. Both came in together last year, and both of them were able to just kind of bounce stuff off each other. It was really good to just hear that out of Marquise Bell, and he's really confident moving forward that he can, you know, man down that second level as the year goes on. It was a question I asked him towards the end. I was like, do you feel like you need to bulk up? Do you feel like it's taking a little bit more of a physical toll on you as the season has gone on, since you're, you know, a little bit of a smaller linebacker? He's like, nah, I feel great. He's like, if anything, I'm faster because I'm getting around these offensive linemen. So it was good to hear from Marquise. He's a guy that doesn't really talk too much whenever you do get him, but he was very open yesterday and had a lot of good things to say.
Both he and Damone Clark both talked about the emotional significance of Leighton Vander Esch being out for the season, too. And I thought the way that they kind of outlined that, John, you were in there, too. But the way they outlined that yesterday was pretty indicative of how much of an impact LVE has had on that defensive side.
Yeah, I'm really surprised with how, like when you mentioned Bell, has been able to fill in for Leighton.
Yeah.
Just because of the significant drop-off we've seen in the past when he has gone out. But yeah, there's no question. I mean, he's just been around he's been around a long time by NFL years. So those defensive guys are all familiar with him just because he's been one of those guys that he's looked at as one of the faces of the team's defense. So yeah, there's no question. That's a big loss for them.
What else you got for news and notes?
This is the last thing. It's on the same note, Damone Clark talking about LVE and how he's been in meetings ever since he has been injured and how he's been on the sideline. He's been the road trips with the team and just being very involved with everything that's going on. This is what Damone Clark had to say. I'm going to support him because that was a guy that was with me every step of the way when I was rehabbing coming off my neck injury that he suffered last year. He said, don't worry about me. I'm going to be straight. That just speaks to the type of warrior he is. He's going to help us. I talk to Leighton all the time. I look up to Leighton. That's someone that does everything the right way. To me, that's way more important than the football player. If I never play another down with Leighton, that's my brother. So definitely a lot of impact off the field that Leighton is still able to bring, but it was interesting to see how impactful he really is talking to the players yesterday.
How much of an impact have you seen? Because I know you're really close with Damone, and you had spoken to him during that same time period, but how much of an impact do you feel like Leighton had on what Damone has become in that second level?
A lot. I think he was an instrumental element to Damone Clark's growth and continued development. I think mostly from the mental aspect, obviously trying to overcome that injury. Obviously, having been somebody who had been through something similar before, it's always good and reassuring to have somebody that can that can communicate and from a sense of understanding. And I think that was the role that Vander Esch played in Damone Clark's life in that regard. And then obviously from being on the field together, being in the meeting rooms together, he's able to get that wisdom, much like the Sean Lee, you know, to Vander Esch and other guys, right? It's kind of just passing it along, right? Kind of passing the baton. And if that was it for Vander Esch, I think that he's had a longstanding impact on Damone, and he will continue to do so throughout this season.
Yeah.
I was going to add something here that I don't want to take this thing off the tracks. How much time we got for this first break?
We got about 4 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I did this
take
list
off the track.
Of the 10 most important players. Marquise Bell is in my next five. I just want to run through these real quick.
Yeah.
Just hear if there's any objections from you guys.
Absolutely.
Okay?
I like it.
One is Dak. Two, Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
Three, CeeDee Lamb. I had Tyron Smith, four. Zach Martin, five. Tyler Smith, six. Osa, seven. Jerron Bland, eight. Ferguson, 9. Brandon Cooks, 10. And then my next five are DeMarcus Lawrence, Gilmore, Tony Pollard, Brandon Aubrey, and Marquise Bell. Now, this isn't just about, who are your 10, 15 best players? This is about importance, you know, looking at the rest of the depth chart. If you were to lose one of these guys, the drop-off that you would have by it. So it's not just, who are the 10, 15 best players on the team? It's in terms of their value to the team. That's why I had three offensive linemen in the top six, because if you lose any one of those guys, you know, there's just the pieces that have to move around. A lot of things fall apart here. And then I had Jake Ferguson on there because I think he's really taken his game to a different level than the other tight ends. And if you were to lose him, like they have other tight ends, but I don't think that they're on the level. Oh, we have a question over here.
Yes. Hi, Isaiah. How's it going?
You omitted somebody.
Okay.
Brandon Aubrey.
Well, he's in. Okay, so I have him in my next five.
He's in his next five.
He's in my next five. I did not have him in the top 10, but yeah. No, I.
You're trying to catch John slipping.
No, I'm just saying.
That's what it is.
I put a lot of thought in this, so I'm fine with this.
I know
ready.
You did.
I'm
so ready for so when smoke. I heard you start talking about the depth chart, I'm like, well, who is your backup kicker?
Well, he's not on the roster. Yeah. Oh. I feel more.
Most teams don't have.
Well,
a backup
who was
kicker.
It that just had a backup kicker and it was like the running back or somebody like that?
Well, that was the Texans. Was,
For an individual game. It's not like they're going to be like, okay, that guy's going to be it for the season.
That's our guy.
No, you got a better chance of finding a kicker on the street than you do being like, any number one tight ends out of there want to step into our offense right now? Any defensive tackles?
To be fair, you kind of did find your kicker on the street.
Left tackle? Anybody out there left tackle want to step in?
He's literally on his couch playing soccer.
Where did you have D-Law at?
He was the first of the next five,
right?
Yeah,
he was the first of my next five. Okay. Yeah.
I think the only thing I would...
And that's only because of the depth at edge rusher.
I get it. Yeah.
I think the only guy that I would maybe include in the top 10 is Tony Pollard, just because I think it's really important for him to get going for this team to find longevity success, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about Marquise Bell, but I think Marquise Bell is a good like next five type guy, just because.
Yeah.
The depth is bad at linebacker, yes, but I think he's important too.
Tony Pollard was the only name that kind of flagged for me, but when you're talking about depth chart and ways that they could fill the void, they have three other guys they feel really confident in: Rico Dowdle, Malik Davis, and Deuce Vaughn.
If I did this a week ago, I might not have. I might have had Tony just because of Rico. The way he played kind of impressed me in a sense of I knew he can do what he did in that game, but to actually see it, you're kind of like, okay, that adds to the value of the running position.
Who were your 8, 9, 10 guys? Because that's about as high as I would put Tony. I don't think I'd put him above any of the offensive linemen.
Jerron Bland. Obviously you have Gilmore.
So that's 8.
I just think it's real thin at corner if you were losing anybody.
I would keep DeRon there.
Ferguson was 9, and then Brandon Cooks was 10. Because, again, I think there's a lot of separation between Brandon Cooks and then whoever.
Sure.
Like, I feel like you can really count on Brandon in a big moment if you need to, if a team's completely taken CD away. I don't feel as strongly about what comes next on the depth chart.
I would probably take Pollard and put him above Ferguson.
Okay.
If I were making my own list, I would put Pollard above Ferguson. I get what you're saying on Brandon Cooks, but if that makes me think he's like a first of the top of the next five guys, just based off of where CD is in this offense and how he is such a featured part. But I like the list overall.
Good
I think
list.
You did a great job.
Boom.
Yeah. No, I like that.
I just like these because they make for a good like talking point.
No doubt.
Like they're,
everybody has their own opinions, too.
Exactly. And anytime you put a list together of anything, as long as it's five or more, you'll always get a bunch of people that disagree. And that makes for a great conversation, though, you know, just to see where people value different things.
It's funny, and I'll bring this up in the third segment, but it's very similar. Yesterday we were talking about MVP odds with Dak Prescott being number 9 in the NFL's MVP odds and what they bring to the table. And while we were running through it, Nick mentioned instead of Jalen Hurts, he would put A.J. Brown in that mix. And it had me thinking yesterday when I was going back and watching through the show was – who's the Cowboys MVP? Who right now is your midseason Dallas Cowboys MVP? Don't say it out loud because I want to talk about it in the third segment. But I want to do it in like a voting standpoint where we each have a list of three. And if you're the top vote, you get 3 points. If you're the second vote, you get 2 points. And then for the third vote, you get 1 point. And then see what our collective Talking Cowboys midseason MVP would be. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that in the third segment. But when we come back here on Talking Cowboys, we've got QB Vision. Isaiah is going to break it down for about 2 minutes and 12 seconds.
2 minutes, 11.
2:11 over the Carolina Panthers. When we come back with more Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's BlackRifleCoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys. And now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at BankofAmerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
To Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this segment of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. From the 240 on our text line, it's Dennis from the DNV. He says, hey guys, will you have medical on standby for Nick Harris tomorrow? You may want to consider it.
Yeah, wow. Buddy.
It's actually not a bad idea. I mean, it's the third hottest hot sauce.
He said he is a CeeDee Lamb of spice.
I am the CeeDee Lamb of spice.
I just don't want him to, like,
hot fun.
Die on air.
I'm a top spice in this game.
That's funny.
Oh, he's scary spice.
You guys are focused on that side of it. I'm focused on what would be bad for the show.
The janitors?
No, bad for the show is that there's no reaction.
Zero reaction
whatsoever.
Where he's
just like, yeah, that seems a big deal. Like, he's sweating a little
bit.
Well,
if that's the case, then we're giving him another chip.
Okay.
If that's the case, we're going double down. We're
making an envelope with $20 on it underneath the door to the bathroom for the janitors. Tip
them. I mean, what makes those the best is if someone just pouring down a bunch of milk, they're trying to, like, shovel in ice cream because they're just in so much pain, and he's just going to be like.
What is your choice? That's a good point. Would you rather have milk, ice cream? I mean, what's your, like, your
beer,
cool down?
Water.
Miller Lite? Let's just go milk.
Just milk.
Let's just go milk.
Would you like me to have, like, a pint of ice cream
just
chilling?
I don't think the king of spice would need anything.
Yeah, he really doesn't, but just in case he does.
He talked about
No, we're going to have it just in case.
I'm just saying.
We're going to have it just in case. Maybe a baby aspirin, as long as you, like, if you don't have a heart attack.
I will need Tums.
Tums? Okay.
If y'all want to bring Tums, that works great.
I'm going to bring like a pint of ice cream.
Sponsor here.
Okay.
What are those tablets called? What's the actual thing?
No, that there's
a name for it though. It's like
antacid
tablet. That's what we're doing.
Thank you.
Not the
Appreciate
branded
that.
One.
I have seen because I watch that Hot One show from time to time. I have seen that there are people that will drink a bunch of like Pepto before. To kind of code. I don't know if any of that stuff works. That's the thing. Like, people try different stuff, but I don't know if there's any scientific proof that any of it really makes it.
He calibrated his mouth, so he should be okay.
Are you ramping back up again tonight? Are you going to go back to Wingstop and, ramp it up?
We'll see.
You might want to give it a day to rest, sir.
Yeah, we'll see what my preparation feels like going into the night.
I felt like a champion of spice last night. Me and my wife had we had some Thai food.
Yeah.
And you know how you rate it like 1 through 5 on the spicy scale? I usually get like a 3. I went up to a 4, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Go ahead and get 5 next
big.
Time. It's solid.
I don't know if I could do a 5.
It's solid.
I tried her. She does a 5. She's big time into the spice. And she did the 5, and I'm like, nah.
You didn't take a bite?
I took a bite. Oh. I took 2 or 3, and I was like, I couldn't finish the whole thing.
Wow.
There's no way I could finish it. But
Stone Cold Killer.
Yeah. You know. We'll see how Nick prepares for tomorrow. The end is the name
the
of the hot
near.
Sauce, right?
The end is near. Huh? Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
we had a bit of a snafu in our shipping schedule, but that's okay. We'll make it work. All right, Beamer, what time is it? It's time for some
Wide 80. Wide 80.
It's time
for QB Vision with Isaiah Standback.
Get after it.
It's not much to get after, Kyle.
Why not?
For the second week in a row. last week against the Giants, it was relatively quick because we knew that these guys were going to be playing man-to-man. We talked about who was going to have an opportunity to get off, which is why we're sitting here talking about hot sauce. This team is this team is different in the sense that they don't play a ton of man-to-man. Their team is a zone, primarily a zone defense, and a primarily single-high zone defense. Really weird to see in the NFL. I've never seen a team play this much single-high zone ever, to be honest with you. These guys are at the top of the league in terms of zone.
They're second. They run the second most zone
coverage in the league. They blitz almost as much as Dallas does. They're fifth in the league in terms of blitz percentage, but their pressure rate is 31st. So much like last week, the Giants were at the top of the league in terms of pressure, attempted pressures and blitzes, but they weren't getting home, right? So they left themselves open, and that obviously hurt them last week with Brandon Cooks having some opportunities off of some blitzes. These guys want to sit in single high. They're set in terms of too high. These guys are at the bottom of the league. Okay, they just don't play it. They'll start off in a too high shell. They'll show that they're playing two or show like they're playing four. And then right at the snap, they do a really good job of disguising it at the snap, but you know what they're getting to. So it's not too much of a disguise. It's more so which safety is coming down. That's pretty much what you're looking at, okay? They started on a too-high shell. All right, I know you're not staying back there, so go ahead and tell me. You know, I'm looking for any indicator to give me an idea of which direction that safety role is. And the reason why that's important is because you obviously, depending on what you have going on in terms of the passing game, you probably want to go away from the rolling down safety, okay? So that's going to be important for Dak to be able to come up to the line of scrimmage and identify. From what I've seen on film, they disguise it up to the snap pretty much. And then when they roll, a lot of the times they're not rolling to get that safety down in the box for run prevention like most teams do, okay? Most teams roll that safety down to add another man to the box, much like Dallas does. Okay, yeah. They'll bring Kirsch down, and he's coming for run run influence, right? Run stopping influence. These guys bring it down so that they have another man on coverage, right? So they're bringing that safety down to have their four guys underneath. They're running cover three zone. That is pretty much what they're running, and I don't know why they continue to do it that way. I don't know what is going on in their defensive coordinator's head to think that you can run a cover three defense every single week in the NFL and be successful. But that's what he's doing. He's playing single high, not playing man. Like, again, they're at the bottom of the league in terms of man coverage. Dallas plays man the second most in the league. These guys play the second least in the league. So from that regard, okay. So when we start talking about personnel, there's not a lot that goes on outside of that defensively scheme-wise. It's really simple. It doesn't make any sense. Personnel-wise, I'm not impressed. They're missing some of their main guys defensively. They are missing their Shaq Thompson. Shout out to UW. They're missing Shaq Thompson. They're also missing their one of their starting linebackers. I just blanked on his name.
I'll find it for you.
Okay, just blanked on it. But they're missing two of their starting linebackers.
Well, Brian Burns is questionable.
Well, not Brian Burns. Justin Houston. There it is. Justin Houston and Shaq Thompson, those guys are both two of their three starting linebackers.
You think about J.C. Horn, too, that's on the edge. He's designated to return, but I doubt he plays this week. Yuta Gross-Matos,
the heart and soul of their team, Brian Burns is obviously their best defensive player at the defensive end position. He's questionable to come back. He is somebody that you need to circle if he's on the field. He's a madman. He's huge. He's fast. He's powerful. He's explosive. He's a
five
specimen.
And a half sacks this year.
He's a complete beast, right? He's a game wrecker by himself. He's their version of Micah, right? You put him on the field, it doesn't matter who you put him up against, he's going to be disruptive. Now, if he can't get a sack, he's going to get a pressure. If he's not on the field, okay, they relied heavily on their linebackers. That was really the heart and soul of their team, and they're missing two of their main guys. That has caused them to play a very soft defense. Okay, so even when they're going single high, even when they're going to cover three, these guys are not pressing up. You're going to have the most free release run routes ever. This should be like routes on air. This should be like anybody who went out to training camp or anybody who's seen any kind of practices from the Dallas Cowboys, and you see the warm-up portion of practice where these guys are throwing the routes on air, Dak's throwing the CD, Brandon Cooks, you know, Jalen Tolbert. That's what it should look like, because these guys don't come up and disrupt you. They don't put their hands on you. They don't alter anything that you're doing in terms of your route running capabilities. So this, I foresee this being much more like the Rams and the Chargers, but the Rams and the Chargers ran a too high show. And they stayed in a too high shell. But that same amount of space is going to be given in terms of what our routes are allowing for. Okay, against the Rams and the Chargers, you had 3-man covering underneath. This week, you'll have 4-man covering underneath in terms of linebacker depth players. Okay, so you'll have one extra guy that you have to kind of decipher and find a zone in. Again, that's going to come down to Dak being able to see exactly where that safety roll coverage is coming from. And then in the secondary, okay, when first level, Brian Burns is the dude. That's about all they have. The interior defensive linemen, they don't have a lot. I know you guys mentioned Derrick Brown in the break. He doesn't pop off film to me at all, regardless of where he was drafted.
I don't think he has been popping off film the last couple years. He was so good at Auburn. Like he was my number 4 ranked player in that draft
class. That's crazy.
I mean, he was insanely good at Auburn.
It's not translating to the NFL.
It is not.
The only person that kind of shows up a little bit to me on film is Deshaun Williams, number 96. He's a big boy, but these guys primarily 2-gap. They want to get their hands on your offensive lineman, and they just want to bull rush, or they want to play peekaboo. They want to grab your offensive lineman, they want to poke their head on the left, poke their head on the right, see where your running back's going. So there's plenty of opportunity to have an established running game against this front defensive line, because their linebackers are dwindled down to backups. Their front defensive line is not very effective outside of Burns. Going to the secondary, you mentioned J.C. Horn. J.C. Horn is a really good cornerback, but he is not available as far as we know right now. They open up that window, but he's off in terms of availability. The only person that remotely pops off film is somebody that Dallas Cowboys are familiar with, and that's Xavier Woods. All he wants to do is run around and hit you. That's pretty much all he's doing. He just wants to be a heat-seeking missile. He doesn't care. I don't even know how many personal fouls he has, but I watched a couple games, and he had a few.
Outside of that, he's been playing pretty well.
Outside of that, he's been playing okay. I mean, but again, he's just running around and hitting. He's not covering very well. He doesn't do anything that scares me in that regard. He just wants to take your head off if you come across the middle. That's it. All right. He doesn't care that a flag's thrown. He wants to get up and celebrate and find the nearest camera.
That's Louisiana Tech in a rusting Louisiana, baby.
Yeah, so they're not being very responsible. But I believe that he's doing that because of how soft their defense is playing, right? The calls that are coming in, they're not being allowed. For the first time, I'm seeing a bend but don't break defense out of a single high. It blows my mind, right? Typically, you see that out of two high shell, right? Cover 4, cover 2, whatever it might be. They'll go to cover 2 from time to time if you're in like 3rd and 12, like most teams do, just to have a little bit of protection and keep everything in front of them. But for the most part, man, this is about as simple as can be. You should be able to have an effective running game. That's why I was talking about Rico Dowdle. That scared me in terms of him not being on the injury report. I would like to see Dallas get their running game going. Their linebackers are not what they used to be. Their defensive line doesn't do much, but you know what they're going to do in terms of their rushing capabilities. They're going to grab you. They're going to try to bull rush you back. They're going to try to stay at the line of scrimmage. Move these guys off the line of scrimmage and get up to the second level on their linebackers. In terms of their defensive backs, are literally just watching you run routes, and then they're trying to tackle you in front of you. That's it. We're going to sit back, watch you run routes. You'll catch the ball, we'll tackle you, and then hopefully you'll throw enough incompletions where, we'll have a chance offensively. But this is simple. I hate to make it sound that simple, but that's what they've shown on film.
My biggest surprise with them is that when you look at the stats from them this season, that they're passing yards against is 176. Blows me away. I thought for sure, looking at their record going in this game, I bet you teams just throw all over them. Not the case. That really stunned me, because it's not like it's a team that takes the ball away a bunch. I'm pretty sure they're tied for last in the league at, like, I think they only have like 6 or 7 takeaways. Mm-hmm. But when I saw that, I thought for sure that their overall defense, like their total defense, I didn't think it would be as high as it is. But, I mean, teams are scoring 27, 28 points on them, but I was a little surprised at that.
Yeah, and that's because they're dropping that 4th man into underneath coverage, right? Yeah. So you can push the ball down the field on them, right? They want to imagine if Dan Quinn just sat back and was like, okay, you guys, play off. Let these guys run routes. Don't let anybody behind you. If they try to get behind you, by the time that they do get behind you, Micah Parsons will be home. That's pretty much what they're doing defensively, right? Hey, Brian Burns, go get the quarterback. Okay, we'll back up and keep everybody in front. And they'll get bored enough that they'll try to push the thing over the top, and by that time you should be home and have an opportunity for a pressure, if not a sack. That's how I foresee their defense being facilitated. I'm sure it's a lot more complicated than that, but that's what it appears like to me. And to that point, they're dropping four guys underneath. So you have to find out where that safety's rolling. Right, so this, you're not gonna be able to identify that until post snap.
I was about to say that's a post snap read.
So Daxon come up to the line of scrimmage. He's gonna come up. There's gonna be two high safeties. The cornerbacks are gonna be playing 6 to 7 yards off. You have hitch routes all day long, but how many teams are gonna run hitches all the way down the field? Most offensive coordinators aren't that potent. No, they're not that patient. Sorry,
patient.
It's the P words today.
It's the P words today, bro.
I can feel you looking for that consonant.
The peppers are preparing me. Most teams aren't going to be that patient to just work down the field like that. Right. So what they're relying on is for you to try to get some stuff going across the middle, and that's where they have that safety rolling down, and they have those four guys underneath. It's like a little umbrella. Right, it's like a little umbrella that they're putting up, and then they're putting a big umbrella over the top of it and saying, hey, take your shot if you want to. You probably won't have time if we have number zero on the field.
Out of the last couple games, how is that different than what Dak Prescott has been seeing with the Giants, the Rams, the Chargers going backwards?
The Eagles and the Giants was man-to-man.
Yeah.
So once your guy won, your guy was open. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to have to go back to finding those zones. And it's going to be a little bit difficult for him in the sense that a lot of the route tree for Dallas is in breaking routes. So being that they're in breaking routes versus a single high zone, he's really going to have to do a good job of putting the ball in the right place.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, these teams like this wait for you to make the first mistake. Like, they're banking on you throwing it inaccurately and somebody getting their hands on it and getting the tip ball. If you're going across the middle, Xavier Woods wants to be the enforcer. He wants to scare you so that you're not running anything deep across the middle. You know, he'll take the penalty just to have your head on a swivel. And then they're really relying on you. Run a slant route, right? You better throw it perfect because there's an outside linebacker and an inside linebacker, and you got to fit it in that window, right? So that's what – you can get off the ball free, but you got to go in there with our four guys, and good luck trying to find something across the middle. If you're patient enough, you will pick apart the outside. There goes the peas again. You'll pick apart the outside.
Peter Piper.
But again, most guys aren't going to be that patient. And you're not going to throw hitches. You're not going to run quick outs. You're not going to do all those things for an entire drive. Most people won't. Right? At some point, you're going to want to throw an in route. You're going to want to throw a shallow. You're going to want to throw a slant. And that's what Dallas has made their living on. You think about a lot of the plays that CeeDee Lamb's made. It's either been a big play on the outside, or it's been a short little slant route, and he's kind of made something happen. Same thing with Brandon Cooks last week. Play action, right? Little ball across the middle. That isn't going to be as tangible this week because of the zone coverage. And they're just waiting for that mistake. Now, you could pick this apart if you're patient, but you have to be precise with your ball.
Does that mean most of the success you'll find is outside of the numbers?
Yes, very much so.
Screen game?
Yeah, I mean, you can run screen. I mean, but these guys playing 6 or 7 yards off, like, this is crazy. Like, this is the NFL. This isn't college. This isn't high school. This is high school stuff that you see out of them, scheme-wise. Yeah. Now, their effectiveness is totally different, right? You talk about the passing yardage against them, but this is high school. This is high school defense. But even with high school defenses, with professional players,
NFL players,
you better be precise. And that's what Dak's going to – that's his challenge this week. If there is a challenge, that's his challenge, his accuracy. Last week, my guy's going to be better than your guy. Boom, we're going to beat you, and they're going to have a yard or two step on you. That's not going to be the case this week unless it's outside.
What fascinates me about this defense is, to what y'all have already mentioned, they're fifth in the NFL in passing yards allowed through the first 9 games. But they are bottom three in the league in sacks. So it's not like – they're generating pressure and it's forcing, it's not allowing anything to happen downfield.
And they blitz the fifth most.
Yeah, it's strange.
And they still don't have any.
They don't get home. So it's much like last week where the Giants blitz almost the most out of anybody in the league, but they're at the bottom of the league in terms of pressures.
But they can't get home.
They can't get home.
Yeah.
So they're exposed, right? These guys, I don't foresee that being the case this week for them. I don't see them blitzing much because they don't want to get exposed.
Giants didn't blitz a whole lot last week. Yeah. Not compared to what they have been doing.
Nope. They spent a lot of time doubling CD. They spent a lot of time doubling CD to a fault. Yeah. And that's why Brandon Cooks went off. I mean, they went single high. They were going single high safety, but that single high safety was sitting over the top of CeeDee Lamb. It was like, okay, Brandon Cooks is over there man-to-man against your number two cornerback. We're going to win that all day long. This week, they're going to sit back and literally just say, okay, put the umbrella up, right, and wait for the raindrops. That's it. That's all they're doing.
So the real question is Brandon Cooks going to go over 100 yards receiving again?
No.
And should we bet on it?
No. I don't.
You don't think
that.
So?
I don't see that this week. I really think this is a Tony Pollard game.
Mm.
I think the offense wants to get him going anyway, so I think that's the focus probably going. I hope it's the focus going into this week. But this defense allows for that as well, as long as your receivers can get in there and get some blocks.
By the way,
this isn't fantasy football, though. I'm just going to tell you.
Facts. All right, Mike McCarthy.
That's my favorite quarter of the year right now.
I don't play fantasy football. The three teams, three offenses that you would maybe that you would say are. I know, Nate. We're on a podcast. Nate Newton walking by saying I'm late for TV. Here's the thing with Carolina. You were talking about how they've been giving up 21, 17, 16 points last week in their loss against the Bears. The three teams that they've played that are playoff caliber teams, the Seahawks, the Lions, and the Dolphins. Seahawks put up 37, the Lions put up 42, and the Dolphins put up 42. So you can score against Absolutely. This team, and they've shown in the past that they will allow some points, but it is a bend don't break mentality, and it's something that they're going to try and employ. By the way, Dak Prescott, 6 interceptions this year. 4 of those 6 have come against zone coverage.
Yeah, he has not historically been great against zone.
And he's going to play a lot of zone.
Yeah, they're going to play a lot of zone. So that's what I'm saying. That's Dak's challenge this week. It's not a complicated zone, but it's still a zone.
Yeah. Sure.
So he just has to be accurate. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. This is another quick stat we'll look at is rushing yards allowed defense-wise. Panthers are 9th, but the Giants are 4th and as far as the most that they're giving up. So this has got to be an opportunity to get the running game going, whether Rico Dowdle's playing or not. Like you have to find a way to rush for 175. Like,
that'd be awesome.
That's where you have to get this offense this week.
That'd be great. All right, let's take our second break. When we come back, who is the midseason team MVP? And who does John think is going to win this game coming up on Sunday? We get his pick, and we'll give you our team MVPs when we come back right after this on Talking Cowboys.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com. JackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this segment is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, Nick Harris, Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Mario from South Texas chimes in on the text line. He says, tell Nick, just because he's a fan of the Miami Heat doesn't mean he can handle the Heat.
That's 100% right. But I'm still, I can handle it.
You can handle it. We're going to see. We're going to have medical personnel. We're going to have antacids.
We're in luck.
Hey, after I handle this challenge tomorrow.
Customer service has gotten back to me once again, Kyle.
Your customer service is amazing. You're like working the phones.
Oh, I'm working the phones right now. This is happening. Customer service, they just let me know.
Okay.
The last time, the physical location, which is here in Texas, of the store, I'm not going to mention the store, was closed last time I walked by. I was like, oh, man, they closed. That sucks. So I ordered it online, mm-hmm. right? On Sunday, I'm like, okay, I can't go in person, so I'm going to order it online. Well, the shipment hasn't gotten here,
nope.
right? So that's my expression to the customer
because
service.
You have the hot sauce, so we have it.
Yeah, it's
covered.
An old batch, though. I want
exactly.
a fresh
you
batch.
You want a fresh batch.
I see a lot of words on that phone.
It's
I think,
a lot of words.
I think it's very strongly worded.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. I can write an email. Okay. So they communicated to me that we apologize. We understand that you're frustrated. We apologize.
A lot of words are
that it's not there. USPS has not checked it in yet, but the store is not closed. The store has moved.
Oh.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
So you're going to write
so
over there?
So you're saying there's a chance.
Where's the store? I mean, I guess we can't really
It's close.
Like,
it's 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, nice. Let's go.
Very nice.
All right. It doesn't matter where the store is at. Two more of these emails, and they're hand delivering it to the house.
It could be an Abilene. And
exactly. Oh, I'm on the way. Yeah. I got time today.
Strongly worded today. Emails. Strongly worded.
Either way, it's happening tomorrow. Second segment, hot sauce payoff bet. Brandon Cooks will be in attendance as well. We're going to make it happen.
Mm.
Going to talk to him in locker room today.
Yeah. Tell him to come through. Show him the video.
We offered him at the post game show, and we'll
show him the video.
What video?
No, the video I posted. Show him that video when you see him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I will. I'll do that. That sounds good. All right. I want you to give me your top three Cowboys MVPs season. Top three. One, two, and three. I want you to rank them. Top three top players at this point in the season. If season ended today, who would be your MVP? I'll start with Nick Harris.
I'm going to go one, CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
I'm going to go two, Dak Prescott, and three, Deron Bland.
Hmm. One of the text lines said Deron Bland needs to be in the MVP conversation. If we lost him, we'd be in big trouble. That was Brian in Colorado. What do you think, John?
This is tough.
It is tough.
This is really tough. Man, so there's no way I'm leaving Micah Parsons off my top three.
Yeah, it was tough. Was tough for me.
I'm going to go CeeDee Lamb 1, okay. Micah 2, Dak 3.
Mm.
But I will say you could have of those three in a different order, and I wouldn't have a huge argument for it.
Yeah.
But I would have a big argument for anybody but those three.
Mm. By the way, we do have some text line conversation. Dak, Lamb, Aubrey. Brandon Aubrey being the third one. That one's from
If there had been a
RDJ.
Lot of close games that came down to him kicking game-winning field goals, I'd feel a little bit differently, and maybe that would be more of a factor for me, but still, no way is that in my top three.
Didn't a kicker win the MVP in like the 80s?
What?
I mean, what was going on then?
Hold on. I'm about to
wishbone.
Did they have the forward pass?
Oh, man.
I'm going to look it up. Go ahead, Isaiah.
I'm along the lines of you, I believe. I think I'm going with CD.
Okay.
Then I'm going with Micah. Oh, crap. There's a lot of guys making plays. And then I guess I have to go Dak.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I think Deron Bland is a benefactor of
He would
Micah
be my
Parsons.
Four, but he's I don't put him too. On that same.
Micah Parsons, just because he hasn't been getting the sacks, this dude is leading the NFL in pressures.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get hit by him, so they're running away and just tossing it in the air.
And there is nobody that I know that loves pressures more than you.
Pressure burst pipes.
1982, Mark Moseley, kicker, won the MVP.
What are we doing, NFL?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
That's some wild.
A 75-yarder or something?
Mark Moseley.
I mean, okay, I'll just come up with this scenario. If you, in a 17 game, obviously it was 16 at that time, to win MVP, minimum 6 game-winning field goals. Minimum. We don't even start talking
like,
without
we're
that.
We're talking like 45-plus, 50-yarder-plus,
like
just moonshots.
Some Adam Vinatieri, Oakland playoffs in the wind and snow. There's not just because you had a bunch of field goals.
Well, maybe even a touchdown. Maybe where he like throws a touchdown to win the game, like late, like it's a fake field goal and he tosses it 40 yards downfield. Like that would maybe give it to him.
Y'all are about to laugh. He went 20 for 21 from field goals and he missed 3 extra points. And that was when the extra points were like right there. He only played 9 games that season. Was 82 a strike season?
Maybe.
Gosh,
I don't know how you're winning.
We look so wild.
What were the quarterbacks doing then?
Yeah,
Joe Theismann was second, which he played on the same team. So I don't know. This is wild.
What are we doing, people?
This is wild weird stuff.
Yeah, that's wild.
What you got?
All right, so I have CD, Dak, and Micah. I had mine written down already. So that across the board has CD as your Cowboys midseason MVP, followed by Dak. Then Micah, then Deron Bland. Mm. And, I mean, it was unanimous among the four here. CeeDee Lamb is the number one possibility, number one MVP. When you look at the national media, do you think he would ever get anywhere close to that sort of attention before Dak Prescott does?
No.
I don't
when you're
so
the quarterback
either.
Of the Cowboys, there's just so much more on your plate. Man, it would be tough. Only way, again, like I think we talked about the other day, you'd have to set the single season receiving record, and even then, that means obviously Dak threw for a ton of yards too.
Yeah.
I think it would be tough. I think the only guys on the Cowboys that could get MVP would be if Micah had, you know, set the sack record, or if obviously they win a lot of games, it's going to Dak. Just like I said, when we went over those odds for the favorites to win MVP, I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, and I don't think Hurts. I would love to pull NFL GMs and see how many would take Jalen Hurts over Patrick Mahomes if you could pick. I would be surprised if there was one.
Yeah.
But I see Jalen Hurts winning the award if they end up with the best record in the NFL.
And then Brandon Aubrey, of course, could win it if he goes 20 of 21 and misses 3 PATs.
Yeah,
he could also win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he could be up there. So, any objections, Isaiah?
Nope. None.
You just focused on tomorrow?
I'm game ready.
808 says, is John not going to be at the best show of the year?
Dang.
Said, if I can get up at 5 a.m. in Hawaii to watch your show every day, which, by the way, salute to you.
Yo.
Salute to you.
Let's go, homies.
John has to make the show tomorrow.
Hey, that's a has
see
to.
See how we word that's this. me not being here probably has nothing to do about when I can wake up.
That's
and
not the
dedication,
truth. Yeah.
Probably got the wrong guy for that. We'll leave it at that. That's probably not the thing that's the issue here.
No, it's a contract thing. The one thing I will say, I would love for John to be there. I would love for anybody upstairs who's listening to this can be here. We could phone John in, but that's not the same.
Oh, he needs to see this.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not here, I'll be here in spirit.
You guys have
and I'll be watching.
You guys can video chat each other.
Even so, if you are listening to this podcast via audio, which we love our audio listeners,
oh, you'll hear it
all the time. You will hear it, but I would encourage you to go on the YouTube, to go on the Twitter, yes. to go on the website and watch it in person. Watch it, actually see the video of what is happening.
Maybe
tomorrow.
I should live stream it on IG.
Maybe, yeah. You could maybe do like a behind the scenes live stream.
No,
little IG.
I don't want to take away from
you're
YouTube.
Such.
I've already called point. YouTube. They're going to come out here.
Oh, sweet.
You're such a phenomenal hater.
We've got Hard Knocks. We've got an NFL Network crew coming in.
NFL Films.
Yeah, oh, we've got all awesome. Of it happening.
Goodness
bum,
gracious.
Bum, 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 I call all the news stations just in case you didn't know.
Sweet.
No,
Bill Jones is
Nui and exactly. Bill. It'd just be them two.
I really do foresee us having a whole little
we're going to make it happen.
Audience right here.
We'll make it happen.
This
and
is getting around
really,
the building.
And then what really happens,
this is
there's one person up there.
Yeah.
This man is just eating an entire bag of these chips, and it's not even bothering him at all. And everyone's just like,
I'm just dousing.
Yeah. Probably would.
Stop being such a realist,
like,
John.
This is what y'all get for being haters.
Haters.
All right. That does it for us here today on Talking Cowboys. Hope you had as much fun as we did. We'll be back tomorrow. John, real quickly, who are you picking on Sunday?
Same score as last week, 40-7 Cowboys. I understand.
Don't apologize.
In the locker room, I don't know if you've noticed this, people are trying to bring along the storyline of, you know, this could be like Arizona again. Stop
yeah.
with that. That's
yeah.
not happening.
Yeah. I don't think so.
40-7.
Well done. Well done. John Machota, appreciate you as always. For Chris Beam, Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, Nick Harris, I'm Kyle Yeomans saying so long from the star in Frisco. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Hot Sauce Day on Talking Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?